B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joining us, the architect of this squad, our friend, the Eel, Daryl Morey. What's going on, Eel?
Anthony, thanks for having me on. What a time. I'm excited for the Birds, the Sixers, like you said. I'll be tailgating 11:30 on Sunday. It's going to be good. I'm excited.
I love it.
We're going to get that Philly feeling. I will say though, Joel Embiid completely posed once again. This time, to your point, the perpetrators of the crime were the shameless media, who most of them have recused themselves because they don't want to vote on something that affects players' paychecks. But the shameless Boston media is way overrepresented. They haven't recused themselves, and they shoved Joel low enough so that he's not an all-star starter. It's crazy.
Amen, brother. I can't take it. The other day I went on a rant about this whole thing. It's not right. It's just not right. I don't understand how a guy of his ilk, who has given you night in, night out, I mean, seriously, the type of level of basketball that he has played, it's a crime. I mean, really. I mean, the commissioner should actually step in and do something about it.
Yeah, well, they do the opposite. They anti-do stuff about it. Instead of going to all-NBA and all-star system that, you know, would basically just put the five best people on the floor.
Yep.
They continue to hold on to like antiquated notions of, you know, symbols that we put next to players. You know, as if you go around the league, and you have to do it, I can't mention their names. There are so many players who are unique to history that you can't put them in a box of, you know, an F no. label or a G label or a C label. And so it's just so antiquated, and they've actively resisted making this change, even though it makes sense.
Yeah, and you're so right about that whole thing being antiquated. I mean, we've been talking for years about positionless basketball and, you know, bigs who face the basket and you name it, you know, stretch fours, like all this other stuff. It's five guys anymore. That's it. I mean, that's going away in 1994. That started to go away. So, I mean, we're years
after. But even crazier is the league office done a good job to get us to positionless basketball. They've made rule changes. They've made the game the best it's ever been. And yet they're still, like, someone sat down in 1948 and, you know, put these position labels on people, and we're still voting on them, you know, 60 years later. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, it really is. It's insane. And for the fact, I look at Joel, I mean, if anybody deserves to have great success and shove it up everybody's gee-gee, it's Joel. All right? I mean, all the
well, and he will. And he will, me. Too. He will. He'll do it himself. I'm glad Troll Embiid came out again.
Yes,
after last game. Like I like Troll Embiid.
Him.
I know others don't. I know others don't sometimes. I love Troll Embiid. So.
I do too, bro. I love Troll. I can't wait. Tomorrow's going to be incredible too. Listen, he's going to have a monster tomorrow night. You know that.
I think the first time ever they've faced off in Philly, which is amazing. I think I haven't checked it, but someone told me they played
true.
In Denver a few times, but never here. So,
how about this team, the way it's playing, all coming together, and you got through the rough spot of the injuries, where, you know, at one point it's just Joel, and then it's all three guys are out before James comes back and then Tyrese comes back. So, you know, ultimately, everybody kind of getting their roles elevated, I think it's helped this team.
Well, Doc and his staff have done an incredible job all year and really emphasizing the we of the team and everyone be a star in their role. And it's really coming together. Obviously, we've got a very tough stretch coming up in March, but, you know, we've had a bunch of signature wins during this stretch as well, and it's created, like, things like winning in Sacramento, one of the hottest teams in the West, without Joel and James. You see that as you get down to guy 10, 11, 12, these guys can really play and would be starting or playing big minutes on other teams. And that's a very difficult situation for a coach to handle. I think Doc's done an incredible job with that. It's also made our job at the trade deadline very difficult because it's, you know, look, our only goal, we've had multiple days of meetings this week. We're going into another meeting right after this call on, you know, finding someone who can contribute to this team. And, it, you know, look, it's our job, but it's hard because we look around the league, we go like, that guy's not better than, you know, right, our 11th guy who just won the game in Sacramento for us. So it's a harder year, but hey, we'll find somebody, I think.
Yeah, and look, I mean, you bring up that Kings game. I mean, you're down big, right? You're down big in that game. And, you know, I mean, they're relentless. I mean, what I love about this group, and this group feels different. I mean, you said it. Look, last year when you get Harden, this thing was about, hey, we'll take a shot, but really it's about next year when we can fill out the roster. And you filled out the roster, by the way. Melton, who we loved before the season, somehow I love him even more. Dude, that was the get of all gets, the Anthony Melton.
Yeah, no, he's really stood out. He was at the Sixers Youth Foundation charity. I talked to him last night, and he's just so happy to be here. The way he gets, I mean, people see the defense, they see the shot making, and how it fits with Joel, but things like key rebounds, he's probably been our biggest key rebound guy. And the other thing I love, and obviously we're in a good stretch. We'll probably have a tough stretch here, and we'll need people to hang with us through that, but we'll build through it, is the thing that I really love is that we play differently when, you know, you go in that Sacramento game and you don't have Joel and James. And a lot of the work we've done with Maxi and, you know, him being on the floor with sort of our high energy shock troops like Trez and Paul Reed, you know, we play differently. We play with energy. I encourage people to go watch the end of the Sacramento game and what PJ Tucker did.
Yeah.
It was such a veteran move on this rebound that, I mean, he basically made sure we got there. Even though he didn't get the rebound, he took out like three guys. He was like a polling lineman taking out three guys.
He was like Lane Johnson.
Exactly. It was incredible. So
it's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, and you know, like, I extrapolate, like, think about, you know, last year's team, which I still think if Joel was healthy, that we beat Miami. Now, you add these pieces for this year's run, and, like, you can see it, right? I mean, and you know, like, early on, I think people were a little frustrated, but you got to realize that it takes some time for everybody kind of to play together, to learn how to play together. You know, I mean, that's the nature of the sport. Let them grow a little bit.
Yeah, I thought we had a shot last year as well. I did underestimate the time it would take James and Joel to develop this chemistry that they've gotten to now. But it's, you know, Doc and those two have it really humming. humming right now. And look, I mean, proof is in the pudding. But you know, I think this March stretch is going to be really good for us. Obviously, this Denver game, you know, just to hone our craft against some of these better teams as we prep for April.
Yeah, it's funny because I was trying to think about what you need. First of all, you know, I loved the switch with Maxey coming off the bench, something I was talking about for a while, only because it just makes it easier to kind of cover all 48 minutes the way you want to cover it. And he's such a great kid, and you knew that he would embrace the role. And like the other night, I mean, you know, he's able to kind of to stem that tide and let you grow and allow Doc to kind of fill out the rest of the 48.
Completely embrace it and allows him to grow more, right? Because yeah. I think obviously he's such a key to now and the future. And, you know, Doc giving him the keys for decent chunks of the game allows him to grow more. And so I think that was part of Doc's logic. Also, it allows Joel and James to increase their chemistry. Obviously, that's going to be key at the ends of games as well. So, look, I think it just shows, you know, how well Doc has got this group focused on being a star in your role and, you know, just focused on how to help the team win. And it's been a real testament to our coaching staff.
I like how the team is finishing games now, too. It's a different feel at the end of games now. You know, first of all, Joel, and I know this is a Doc thing, Joel, that, you know, elbow, free throw line elbow shot that he just is money every time. He's honed that shot. He's passing at the end of games, taking care of the ball. There's a good flow. There's some good optionality at the end of games now.
Yeah, Doc and Joel have really worked on that. It's become a go-to. It's become a go-to. I think we still have, you know, when we face some tough defenses, both zone and also against heavy switching lineups, where we've got to continue to hone our craft. But it's been really good. As you point out, we've won overtime games. We've been down in the fourth. We've been tied in the fourth. And Joel, James, Maxey, Doc, the coaching staff have done a really good job executing in those instances.
I was trying to think about what this team could use. Like, you brought up the trade deadline. And I guess you could always use another ball handler and somebody else to shoot a three. But I mean,
I gotta tell you, if you look, obviously, you know, every team can use players, right? I mean, yeah. we're one team out of 30. But if you overlap players who would play in our playoff rotation mm-hmm. with the players that are available, especially with so many teams who feel they are in it with the play-in game and everything, it gets down to a very small group of players.
Yeah,
it's not zero. But it's not like a big group of players that you say, oh, he's better than this player.
Yeah.
This guy is someone Doc can use at the end of the game that's better than who we have. It's non-trivial. And look, I mean, we're turning over every rock, but it's not going to be straightforward. Like, hey, here's like we had last year with, you know, with a sort of a gaping hole that we needed to fix. So.
How did it feel Wednesday night? I mean, listen, there's a bit of closure that comes with every time he comes to town and then he plays, and I'll just call him he. And look, I know there's no KD at all, but I can tell you from our perspective, it feels good. I'll be honest with you, to beat him.
Yeah, I thought it'd be closer to a win-win. We actually do look for those kinds of deals. You know, it's a very small NBA circle. You know, but pieces of the trade have struggled. So, look, I think, you know, when Brooklyn's full strength, and I don't think we did play them full strength in one with our same group that won in Sacramento. But look, when they're full strength, they're a different look, and their players fall into their roles better as well. So I think full strength, they're a very tough out. I'm glad we got the right side of them twice so far this year. Hopefully we can keep that rolling.
Yep, I'm with you, brother. Listen, the last thing, I know you follow this closely, and you're close with Howie, and the job that we were just talking about, the job, the GM.
Oh, yeah, executive of the year.
How about
Howie?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I know how much you love him, and, you know, and you guys, believe me, the feeling's mutual on his end. He's talked about you to me many times, and it's really cool. I mean, you guys, and I'll include Dave Dombrowski in this thing, because some of the moves that he has made and coming off the World Series, I mean, you guys are, it's a great, you know, group of GMs going on right now.
Yeah, just great people. And as I think I've told you this, I got very frightened when I got the job in 2000, and it seemed like everyone on the radio was trying to run Howie out of town. And I'm like, didn't this guy just win the Super Bowl just like recently? So I'm really I'm thrilled for him. Everyone knows he's one of the best, if not the best, in football. And you know, he had me at training camp this year, as I think you saw, and I picked up so much from him and Coach Sirianni, and yeah, it was really a great day.
Well, listen, we love you, Eel, and how you embrace the town and being there on Sunday, and it's really cool, and we got to continue the season.
I love you calling me Eel. Only two people call me Eel, Danny Ainge and you, so it's great. Actually, Kevin McHale does too, because they named it after his post move. So I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Anthony.
You got it, brother. The year of requital will continue, man. This is our year. Thanks. Appreciate it, brother. There he is, the great Daryl Morey on the Comcast Business Online.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.